Praise the Lord, everybody. So glad to be here tonight. Amen. These are perilous times like we've never known before, but thank the Lord we can trust our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to begin by praying, talking to the Lord here as we begin. Again, I'm just very glad for this opportunity with what we have seen and what we could be seeing soon. I know it's a privilege to be here tonight, and so thankful for everyone who is here and thankful for everyone online. Praise our God. Let's go before the Lord in prayer right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity. We thank you that we know that you are with us, oh God, that you care, that your presence goes before us, Lord. Oh God, you are our shield, you are our shelter, you are a soon coming King, Lord. Oh God, you are the one that holds us in thy hands, and oh God, we can trust thee, Lord. Oh God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would work, Lord. You know the needs of your people, Lord. You know every burden, every care. Oh Lord, every desperate need, Lord Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that you would work. Oh God, that you would intervene. I pray that you talk to hearts. I pray, oh Lord, that you get us ready, Lord, that indeed our lamps would be trimmed and burning. Oh God, that, oh Lord, we would not let down on our standards. Oh Lord, oh God, on thy ways, Lord. Oh God, on thy concepts. Oh God, we would not get lukewarm at such a time as this, Lord. But I pray that you talk to our hearts. I pray that you'd breathe upon us. I pray that, oh Lord, you'd use this message. That you'd anoint it, Lord Jesus. That you'd give me words, Lord. Oh God, I know that I need you, Lord. I know that we all need you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, help us. Give us that strength that comes from thee. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Let the devil be bound. Let him have no place. Oh God, let him not be able to operate. But oh God, I pray that you talk to every heart. Oh Lord, that you'd bring forth this message. Oh Lord, in the way that it needs to go forth to do thy work. Oh Lord Jesus, that it would accomplish that which you please. And I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I do want to just tell a little happening that happened yesterday. I just had pretty much awakened out of bed and the telephone rang, and it was a good friend who was in Washington and now she's in Missouri, and it was really something. I hadn't talked with her for a while, so it was a little bit of catching up, but you know, she had been staying with a friend there in Missouri, and it so happened that this woman's daughter came, and my friend Deanna had to find another place to live. And anyway, she didn't know where to go or how to do it, and you know, she was in a new location away from that which she had known and everything else. And the story is that she was walking and she came to a park bench and sat down, and she was just crying out to the Lord and asking him what she could do and asking him to make a way. She honestly didn't have a place to stay at that point, you know. And so anyway, it was amazing. As she was sitting there, another individual comes walking that direction, and this is a native of that city, and you know, Deanna happens to be sitting in the bench that this lady typically sits in, and so this lady is walking towards Deanna, and she sees somebody sitting in her bench, and at first she thinks, oh, might be a child or something, and then she realized, no, it's an adult. But anyway, she approached Deanna, she got to that bench, and you know, they begin to talk. And you know, it was quite an amazing story, because this lady happened to be a believer, and she had a little group that she knew of where they were studying the Bible, some women, and you know, she asked Deanna to join, and they did. It was a King James Bible group, and anyway, all being said, that was done. But then, you know, this lady and Deanna talked a little bit more, and it was realized that this lady did not believe in the heathen customs, Christmas and Halloween and such. And you know, wow, that was quite an amazing thing. And then as the story develops, this lady said, well, I've got two trailers. I'm living in one and the other is vacant. You can stay there, no charge. I'll let you stay there. And so here it was, Deanna needing a place to stay and, you know, not knowing where to go or how to think or any of that. God provided. God heard her cries. And God intervened. And that was so amazing. This just happened, I think maybe Sunday. But, you know, I continued, you know, talking with Deanna. And, again, we had a lot of things to share. But as we were talking, I realized that Deanna was actually having a problem with a kidney stone and was in pain. And oh my, as that was realized, I said, oh my, we better pray. And you know, what a story, because praise the Lord, just prayed a simple prayer of faith and asked God to take care of it and do whatever he needed to do to take away the pain and dissolve that stone or make it pass or whatever all. And you know what? After that prayer, there was a pause. And all at once, Deanna says, I can stand up straight now. She said, for 2 days, I've been humped over. I haven't been able to straighten myself. I can stand up straight. And she said, the pain is leaving. The pain is going. Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, we worship the Lord. And we just had to thank the Lord Jesus. But you know, that's our God. And that's the way it should be. You know, that response to faith. God hears it. And he knows our needs before we ask. And there is nothing too hard for our God. And I just want to thank the Lord. Oh, just, you know, his hand of miracles. You know, he knows how to do the impossible. There is nothing too hard for our God. And oh yes, in such times as this, we need to trust him. We've always needed to trust him. Life is full of uncertainties, even at its best. But how it is right now as we walk this earth, how we need to trust the living God, how we need to put our faith in him. He's the only one that we can really trust. Oh, he's the one that isn't changeable. You know, things come and go. People come and go. Circumstances change. You know, we all leave this earth at some point. But oh, praise the Lord, we have a God. Oh, who knows how to meet every need. He knows how to dissolve every problem. He knows how to heal our bodies. He knows how to save our souls. And oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we've got our God. I'm so thankful that we can cry out to him. I'm so thankful that we can pray prayers of faith and see the Lord work. You know, we can expect God to do great and wonderful things. He hasn't changed. What he did when he was on earth, he can do yet today. Our God is the same. And praise the Lord, he's our God if we've given our lives to him, if we committed our hearts to him. He's our God. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our soon coming King. We can trust him. And what a privilege. What a joy. Yes, you know, it's a world full of pessimism and a lot of confusion and certainly great unknowns. I know. I subscribe to this Natural News, Mike Adams, and he is a very honest, conservative man, and I like him. He sometimes has, you know, things even from a spiritual standpoint in some of his articles. But anyway, I think it was yesterday, I was looking at his stuff, and anyway, he was writing in one of his articles, or I don't know if he wrote it, he has other writers too, that, and other material that he uses, but the report was that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau there of Canada had revealed the real purpose behind the COVID-19 crises. And, you know, it was really interesting. He said it himself, that it's been brought about to bring about a great reset. In other words, he's talking about a new world order. And, you know, it just falls in line with, you know, what the big boys are looking for, with what the World Economics Forum has declared, what the agenda for 2030 is, the UN agenda, and all of that. And, you know, I think this man, Joe Biden, too, has the same notion. I know one of his slogans was to build back better. And I think that is also in reference with turning things over to the New World Order. You know, my daughter, Ruth, was telling me that there was a slogan out there in Washington State, and I don't know, I didn't see it here in Wisconsin, but, you know, maybe some of you saw it also, but one of his slogans out there was, fighting for the souls of America. Fighting for the souls of America. Hey, I tell you what, there's more to this than meets the eye. Oh, there's all kinds of chicanery and all kinds of debauchery and what has happened in this world. But oh my, we know that Satan has a plan and he knows that he has but a short time. And we know what he's trying to bring about. Going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, whom we need to resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. He hath come down, oh, yes, to this earth, having, oh, great wrath, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. His goal to deceive the nations, to deceive the people, to bring about his plan, and ultimately to defeat the people of the Lord Jesus, even God himself. But of course, we know that's not going to happen. And that brings me, oh yes, to what I want to center on tonight, Christ's glorious church. Praise the Lord, the glorious church that the body of Christ is in. Oh yes, in spite of what's going on in this world, we have great hope. And yes, if we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, we are part of Christ, Jesus Christ's glorious church. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. With that being said, let's turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we love you, Lord. Praise the Lord. We look at verse 22 to start, to begin this train of thought. It says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And of course, in that sense, savior means that he would be the provider, as the Lord has ordained. Verse 24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And of course, boy, that just brings about a point that I just have to interject here. Oh, yes, we need to be very careful who we marry, don't we? Oh, yes, we want to make sure that that spouse is anchored in the Lord Jesus. Amen. But it goes on to say in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And oh, yes, this is why Jesus came to this earth. Oh, yes, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that is why our Lord came to this earth. And what a story that is. God Almighty being a spirit. And a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Put on flesh. So that he could come to this earth and die for the sake of his people. Oh yes, that he might bring forth a body, the ecclesia, the church of the living God, a set apart people that are sanctified. To be sanctified means to be set apart, to be made holy, in a church that is cleansed by the washing of water, by the word. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, we have such a privilege in coming to the Lord Jesus and giving him our lives. Oh yes, by committing our lives to the Lord. And of course, that means that we repent, that we turn away from our old man, our old person, all the sins that we once did and that were common to us, the old life. We turn away in repentance. And then, yes, we obey the command to be baptized. And praise the Lord, we can go down in the waters in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And oh, yes, that word. Oh, yes, that saving name, that grace. Oh, yes, that he sheds upon us. And yes, we have the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. As they did on Pentecost with the evidence of other tongues. Praise the Lord. But that is why our Lord Jesus came to this earth. Yes, that he might sanctify his people, his church, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That, oh yes, at that time when this is over, that he might present it to himself. Oh, a glorious church, a church that has been redeemed, that has been bought, that has been set apart. To be holy means that it's set apart, that it's dedicated to the purpose of the Lord Jesus. And he said, not having spot or wrinkle, our sins forgiven by that blood of Jesus Christ, or any such thing, but holy. Yes, separated and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that is why our Lord Jesus came into this world. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Our wonderful God, just to finish this short chapter here, it says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. See, that all is an example of how the Lord loved his people. And yes, he's exhorting the husbands to love their wives as their own selves. And he's using that as an example and talking about nourishing and cherishing it. Oh yes, a love that doesn't expect something in return. And verse 30 explains, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Oh yes. Oh, the glorious church. We all become members. We all become participants. Oh, in the body of Christ. And then he says in verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In other words, reverence meaning respect and honor. Amen. But yes, our Lord Jesus gave us this example. Yes, and telling us, yes, all the reasons behind all that great sacrifice that he made at Calvary, his willingness to shed his blood, to die that excruciating death on the cross of Calvary. Oh, yes, because he was buying his people. He was redeeming his people. Oh, yes, because there's that day. Oh, yes, we're all going to stand before him. And oh, yes, at that point, he's going to present it to himself, that church, that glorious church that has been redeemed by his blood. Oh, those people that, oh, yes, can stand before him without sin or wrinkle or any such thing, but are holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord made a way that we could be forgiven our sins. We don't have to live in our sins and trespasses. Praise the Lord. Oh, so many times it isn't understood. Sin does not enter heaven. No, we need to give it to the Lord. Oh, we couldn't do it of ourselves. But we need his help, oh yes, to take us through this world, to give us a strength to prevail, oh yes, to go on, to walk with him, oh yes, to be delivered, oh yes, and to be part of that wonderful, glorious church of the living God that doesn't have any spots or wrinkles, any such thing, but that church that is holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord. I want to go to the Old Testament now. One of the minor prophets near to the end here, the book of Zechariah. Praise the Lord, if you can go there with me. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. And we're going to begin with verse 9 here in this 9th chapter of Zechariah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. All these wonderful prophetic utterances. Here it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, we know that an ass is a donkey. And if we turn here, I'm coming back, Lord willing, to Zechariah 9. But if we can turn to the book of Mark here for a moment. I want to go to Mark 11 and just reference this occasion here. Because, yes, Zechariah was speaking of that time. Oh, when Jesus would have what is called that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. And, you know, he had ministered for those 3.5 years at that point. And oh my, some of the people seemed to understand who he was, but for the most part, I think they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Oh, they didn't recognize that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And of course, it seemed like the scribes and the Pharisees were the ones that, were the worst rejectors of them all. But here it is, if we look here at Mark, this 11th chapter here, and just going through this account here to reference what we just read in Zechariah. It says in verse 1, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth 2 of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him." Now, isn't this a feat? You can imagine, you know, it's one thing to ride on a donkey anyway, and I'm sure, you know, it wouldn't happen, you know, immediately. It would take a lot of work to break in that donkey, I would say. But Jesus is asking them to find a colt, a young one, a colt that has never been rode upon, that a man never sat upon. And he's asking his disciples precisely here to loose that donkey, that colt, and bring him. And then he says, you know, I love how Jesus knew every detail and what was going to be asked and what was going to happen and, oh, where to go. And, well, praise the Lord, he was God robed in flesh. Amen. Verse 3 tells us, "And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where 2 ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? They wondered. And they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded, and they let them go. Praise the Lord. So see, God orchestrated the directions and the right people, the right donkey, exactly everything that was needed here. And yes, the owners or whoever was with this colt, you know, understood and let that colt go. And it tells us in verse 7, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And you can imagine there was a multitude of people, yes, and all at once, oh yes, it occurred to them, oh yes, this need to respond. And oh yes, they cut down branches off the trees, and oh yes, they were waving them, they were strawing them, or laying them down in the way, scattering them in the way that Jesus was prepared to go. And they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Finally giving Jesus some acknowledgement, finally as he was entering here into Jerusalem. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise the Lord. And we know from that point after this, so yes, Jesus had the option. I have a feeling, I do believe that those that were crying out and worshiping him and exalting him and honoring him and crying Hosanna were hoping that he would go to the palace and take over the Roman government. And you know, that being realized, that which they expected. Oh, yes, but there were two forks in the road, and one, yes, did lead to the palace, but, you know, the other fork led to the temple. We know which road that Jesus selected. He went into the temple. He entered into Jerusalem, it tells us in verse 11, and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Oh, yes, this is coming to be the time, yes, as he would be in Gethsemane. Soon after that, they would, of course, do the Passover first, and then, oh, yes, from there, we know what happened. He was arrested, and oh, yes, he was crucified. But oh, yes, back here in Zechariah 9, that ninth verse, oh, yes, it has an utterance. And isn't it wonderful how, you know, Zechariah, inspired by God, anointed by God, was able to declare this so precisely. Verse 9 again, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass. Upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there he was coming. And that's how he entered into Jerusalem, riding upon a donkey. Oh, with humility, lowly, it says, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that young donkey that had never been ridden before or rode on before. Praise the Lord. But continuing here, oh, yes, in this ninth chapter of Zechariah, verse 10, it says here, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Okay, this is talking about the glorious kingdom of our Lord Jesus. And we know, yes, as he came into this world, he was teaching the kingdom of God to the people. But, oh, yes, all of that was not going to be fully realized at that moment, and there were things that they didn't understand. They didn't understand, for the most part, that the kingdom of God was going to be spiritual, that it was going to be inside, yes, their being, that he was going to, oh yes, come and dwell within his people. But all great things were accomplished as Jesus came to this earth. Oh yes, there's a referral here to Ephraim, which would refer to the northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, also called Israel. And then it refers to a horse from Jerusalem. And it talks about this time when the battle bow shall be cut off. And you know, things changed with the ministry of Jesus Christ. We know his Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. You know, it declares things that were complete reversals of things that were in the law. And, you know, it was revolutionary in that sense. Very unexpected, I'm sure, by the people. But Jesus was repenting. He was teaching. He was bringing forth the kingdom of heaven, the good news, the glorious news of the gospel, the kingdom of God, and all of that that would come forth. And yes, as was not realized by so many, that kingdom that he was bringing forth was going to be in the heart. It was going to be spiritual. You know, as Jesus told Pilate when he stood before him there in the judgment hall, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then should my men fight for me. But now, my kingdom not of this world. No, he was bringing about the gospel, the good news that would change us, that would change our ways of thinking, our ways of living. It would turn us around. And yes, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4 here in 2 Corinthians 10 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that glorious kingdom that Jesus was presenting and bringing forth. Oh, yes, shedding his blood on behalf of. Oh, it was going to be a spiritual kingdom. And yes, the weapons of our warfare in our spiritual kingdom that, oh, yes, oh, we are part of, if we are part of the body of Christ, it's not carnal. It's not physical, in other words. It's not the natural means, but it's spiritual and it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, praise the Lord. We can pray in the Spirit. We can travail. We can make our requests and supplications known before God. We can go before his throne of grace and mercy and bring our needs. And praise the Lord, oh, we can bring down strongholds through the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, that blood that he shed, that power that he has given his church, his body. Oh, yes, that authority that he has given his people. Praise the Lord, it is not carnal, but it is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh my, when we pray, oh, God can turn everything around. Oh, troubles and trials in this world, tests and all kinds of, oh, things that try the soul. And we are living in a desperate moment right now. From things I've heard, you know, Mr. Biden, if he would become president, would, from what I've heard, things can change. So I'm not saying this, you know, as a definite, but, you know, he has, you know, made it known quite clearly that, you know, he would quite possibly mandate a vaccine. And, you know, there are motives behind this that are, you know, part of the Luciferian concept and everything else. And, you know, we've seen already the devices the devil has used. But praise the Lord, we're not going to go and you know, use weaponry to have to, you know, change things. No, that's not ours. No, in fact, we put it into God's hands. He is the one in control. He is the one that doesn't change. He is the one that we stand upon. And we let him do what he will do according to his will. Praise the Lord. But we have authority and we have power through the blood of Jesus Christ, that which he has given his church, to bring down strongholds. Praise the Lord. What a gift he has given his people. Verse 5 here in 2 Corinthians 10 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, wow, what a wealth of information is in that fifth verse. It tells us how to fight. We're all fighting things. Oh, the flesh rises up at times. We get in trouble. Sometimes our words come out wrong and things are misunderstood. And sometimes, oh, we just, you know, we blunder. We make mistakes. Oh, and sometimes, oh my, we just let our thoughts go crazy. We let the devil run roughshod over our minds. But oh, yes, Lord, teach us how to cast down imaginations. All those things that come into the imagery of our minds that the devil tries to promote and advance. But we can cast those things down. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, if it isn't according to God's word and God's way, praise the Lord, it needs to come down. Amen. And yes, it talks about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, yes, this is how we fight in this world. Oh, yes, as part of the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, we learn, oh, yes, how to bring all those ridiculous things down, all those imaginations. And, you know, a lot of times they're wild thoughts that they come to us, or, you know, we read somebody wrong and we draw some conclusions and all. But, oh my, it can be so wrong. And we can get in such trouble. Back to, oh, we can, you know, oh, scurry away faith. But praise the Lord, God teach us how. Oh, yes, to cast down imaginations and every high thing. Oh, every imaginative thing, every ridiculous thing, you know, that the devil tries to put upon us, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, contrary to God's words, God's ways, you know, just man's thoughts, man's philosophies, something we read in a book maybe, or somebody else that, you know, imposed this thought upon us. But oh, praise the Lord, we can bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord, and that is how the Lord would have us to fight this spiritual warfare that, oh, we are all involved in if we are part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. And back here to this 10th verse here in Zechariah 9. Yes, the first part again, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. Oh, yes, all of that was going to be destroyed. He's talking about those spiritual entities also that, yes, need to be destroyed and brought down and cut off and not allowed in the church of the living God. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to say in the second part of this verse, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Well, this is talking about the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, You know, this description tells us, oh, this is a kingdom that all goes from one end of the earth to the other. You know, from sea even to sea, there is, you know, no restrictions to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, oh, yes, I think the description that we have in Isaiah chapter 9 is so excellent to describe this glorious kingdom. If we can just turn there just a minute here. Isaiah chapter 9. Oh boy, there's so much in these wonderful chapters. Oh, praise the Lord. If we look at verse 4 here, oh, I can read the whole chapter. Verse 4 here in Isaiah 9 says, "For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian." Oh my. There is a lot to this. But this is what Jesus did. Oh yes, when he gave up the ghost on the cross. Praise the Lord. Oh, he was buying us salvation. Praise the Lord. And he was breaking the back of the devil. He was breaking the devil's grip. He was breaking the yoke of that burden of sin and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, all those things that had been a part of reality. But things were broken at the cross. And oh my, I don't know how I thought I was going to get through all of this tonight. But let's go to Habakkuk. I'm coming back to Isaiah 9. But oh my, let's go to Habakkuk, because chapter 3 is quite amazing here. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what happened at Calvary. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 11. "The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, at the shining of thy glittering spear." Oh, yes, we know that there was darkness from the sixth to the ninth hours as Jesus was on that cross. As if the sun and moon stood still in their habitation, in their place, at the light of thine arrows. Oh, yes, there was a spiritual war being fought. Oh, yes, as Jesus was on that cross. "At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear." Oh, yes, it wasn't visible from earth. But oh, yes, that war in the heavenlies. Verse 12 says, "Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thrust, or thou did thresh the heathen in anger." Oh, yes. "Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck." Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. This is what Jesus was doing there at Calvary. Oh, he was going forth for the salvation of his people. He was buying his people. He was redeeming his people. So yes, one day there would be a glorious church that he would present to himself. But praise the Lord, yes, he was there. Oh, it was going forth. And at that time, at that moment, the head of the old dragon, of Satan himself, was wounded. Oh, yes, this was when Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled, that promise that was given to Adam and Eve there at the very beginning of time, or soon into time after sin came into the world. Oh yes, Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." God talking to the serpent, who was the devil personified. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Oh, perhaps Yes, the heel was bruised at Calvary, but oh yes, there was a fatal blow to Satan there on the cross. Praise the Lord. That is what was happening, all that spiritual warfare that was going forth there in the heavenlies. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Selah, oh yes, that deadly wound that was given. And of course, as Jesus cried, oh yes, right before Calvary there in John 12, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. He was buying salvation. He was, oh yes, giving himself a ransom for his people. He was shedding his blood on the cross. But oh, praise the Lord. The devil was being defeated. He was struck this blow. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus, God Almighty, was making a way for his people that we might be redeemed, that we might be heirs of salvation. Praise the Lord, and oh, that we might go forth, oh yes, to serve the Lord. And oh yes, to do the Lord's bidding. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, back here in Isaiah 9, oh yes, verse 4 again, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For verse 5 explains, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. In other words, this was going to be a spiritual cleansing, a spiritual work, oh, done by the Almighty. Oh, yes, who would come to this world to redeem us, and all the things, oh, that took place in the heavenlies. Oh, yes, as all of this was taking place. But it tells us in verse 6, Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord, the Christ child. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the government. Oh, the spiritual government that, oh, yes, was being brought forth was upon his shoulders. Praise the Lord. Oh, and that name that is above every name. Oh, praise the Lord, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 tells us of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, even forever. Praise the Lord, an everlasting kingdom that would never be diminished. It would never end. Oh yes, it would be ordered and established by the coming of the Savior. Praise the Lord. And yes, no end to the increase and no end to the peace. Oh, that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that he gives his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, a peace that the world does not have. And yes, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I love that. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And praise the Lord Jesus established it. Oh, praise the Lord, he brought it forth. And oh, yes, what a difference it has made. Oh, yes, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we serve a mighty God. And he has done amazing and mighty things. Oh, praise the Lord. Isaiah 26, Verse 1 says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." There's your answer. Praise the Lord, Sister Penny. There's your answer. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Oh, amazing. What a mighty God we serve. All the details are taken care of. But oh, yes, oh, salvation was appointed. Oh, instead of walls and bulwarks. Oh, yes, those things that are needed to keep the enemy out. No, the Lord, oh, was bringing about a spiritual kingdom that would never be destroyed or diminished. Praise the Lord, an everlasting kingdom. And oh, yes, at Calvary, you know what happened? Oh, as verse 2 of this 26th chapter of Isaiah says, "Open ye the gates." Oh, praise the Lord, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus, making a way that we could enter into the kingdom of God so that we could be part of the body of Christ. Oh, that we could be participants in his kingdom. Praise the Lord, that gate was opened up so that we can enter in. Praise the Lord, have you entered in tonight? Are you part of the body of Christ? Oh, the Lord has made a way that you can enter in. Oh, that you can be a part of that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord Jesus did that for us. Oh, praise our God. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Going back here to Zechariah 9, praise the Lord. Verse 11 says, "As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water." Oh, praise the Lord. That was the blood that Jesus Christ, he is shedding his blood on the cross to bring forth the new covenant in his blood. Oh, yes, that way. Yes, so that, yes, that partition that separated us from God, oh yes, would no longer be there. We then would have direct access to the holiest of holies, into the presence of God. We would not need a high priest or any priest, oh yes, to go in there for us. But oh yes, he was making a way so that we could all enter into that place. Oh yes, by the blood of that covenant, he was buying his people. He was bringing forth that covenant. And it says, "I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The Lord Jesus was making a way that, oh, yes, even those that were, oh, yes, prisoners, and we were all under that bondage of sin. We are all slaves to sin. Oh, yes, the freedom that Jesus is talking about that we are made free from is sin. And we were all in that condition. But the Lord Jesus made a way that we could be loosened. Oh, yes, that we could be freed, that we could come forth. Oh, yes, out of that slavery, out of that position, that hopeless position, and have hope. Oh, praise the Lord by that blood of that covenant that he brought forth. Praise the Lord. Oh, he made it possible that we could come unto him. Oh, praise the Lord. Just turning to Psalms 146 here. Oh, praise the Lord. It says in Psalms 146, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being, or while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth, or to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. In verse 7, let's note this, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. And praise the Lord, it says, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Oh, praise the Lord, those bonds. Oh, yes, that enslavement by which we all were bound. Oh, yes, the Lord looseth the prisoners. Oh, praise the Lord, oh, the wonderful thing that he did at Calvary. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a gift that we have been given. Praise the Lord. And again, going back here to Zechariah, oh, that 11th verse again. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Oh, that terrible pit. Oh, that chained us and oh, infringed, oh, yes, upon us. Oh, yes. David talked about that in Psalms chapter 40. Oh, verse 1, chapter 40 of Psalms, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Oh, that cry of despair. When he realized we need Jesus, we need salvation, we are condemned, we need hope. But, oh, yes, verse 2 says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what Jesus does for his people. Oh, yes, he sets us free. He brings us out of that horrible pit. Oh, that condemnation, that element of sin, out of the miry clay. Oh, stuck in that old way of life, stuck there. But praise the Lord made a way that we could be released and set free and loosened, oh, from that condemnation. And yes, set my feet upon a rock, oh, the rock Christ Jesus, oh, the truth, oh, that the Lord laid down, oh, yes, that all his word is established upon. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he did that. He put us upon the rock, Christ Jesus. That knowledge that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. And yes, our goings were established. Praise the Lord. And I love verse 3 here in Psalms 40. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, that song, that testimony that he gives us. He gives us hope. You know, he gives us a shining countenance, oh, that, oh, yes, he shines to the world. Oh, yes, reflects, oh, the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, we become the light of the world. Oh, yes, when his spirit inhabits our beings. Praise the Lord. He puts a new song in our mouth. Oh, a song that we didn't have before. Oh, yes, you know, when Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and realized how God had gloriously carried them over, how he had opened up that Red Sea so that multitude, 3-4 million people, whatever it was, could walk over a dry land. And then the enemy, the Egyptians who were chasing them, were drowned, every one of them. And they realized the glorious deliverance. Oh, there is a wonderful song of praise and worship, of deliverance as they realized what God had done for them. I believe it's the 15th chapter of Exodus. Oh, yes, they had a new song. Oh, they were delivered in a way they didn't even expect, having been redeemed from out of Egypt and now from across the Red Sea. And it was like now, and we know that that Red Sea, that crossing over, is a type of baptism. And oh yeah, it indicated that, oh yes, as they crossed over, every single one of them. But on the other hand, the enemy drowned. The enemy was destroyed. And that represents how that when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, the enemy is cut off. Praise the Lord. And we go towards, yes, the promise. Oh, they were going towards the promised land from that point on, that which had been promised them. Though it took them a long time to get there. But oh, yes. Oh, we've got a promise, yes. Oh, yes, initially the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord that he puts within our being. And then, oh, yes, that which lies ahead for that glorious church of the living God. Oh, yes, that place where the Lamb is the light, that new heavens and the new earth where the Lord will reign with his people, with his glorious church without any spot or wrinkle. And praise the Lord, all the redeemed can sing. Moses and the children of Israel could sing. They had a new song that they could sing when they crossed over. And so it is with the people of God. Oh, we've been redeemed from this world and from the sin of this world. God puts a new song in our mouth. Praise the Lord. He puts a song of praise unto our God. Oh, how can you keep it quiet? Oh, doesn't it have to come out? What God has done for us, how he delivered us, how he set us free, how he made us whole. Oh, praise the Lord, how he delivered us. And oh my, there may be a lot of entanglements that once were a part of our lives. Oh, yes, you know, oh, that new life means, saying goodbye to all those things of the world. But our God knows how to deliver us, how to set us free from all those bondages, all those addictions, all those sins, all those ways of life, those past ways of thinking. God knows how to deliver us and how to set us free. And praise the Lord. How he puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And oh, yes, it's going to be heard. Praise the Lord. It says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That is what he has done for us. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, thank the Lord. Oh, he makes a way for his people. And oh my, there's more to this 9th chapter of Zechariah. But I am so thankful for the glorious deliverance of our Lord and Savior, what he did for us so that we could, yes, go forth and be freed from our past. We could be freed from that condemnation that hung over our heads. And so, yes, as verse 12 says here in Zechariah 9, turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee, oh God. Oh yes, when he turns back, when oh yes, it's his time to revenge. Oh my, how everything will change. And it says in verse 13, when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man. Oh, again, I believe this is talking about God's glorious deliverance to his people and the victory that we have over the enemy. Praise the Lord. You know, all the opposition and all the things of the past and all the things that rise up against us. The Lord goes forth. Oh, yes, he goes forth, yes, to lead us and to guide us. It tells us in verse 14, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as a lightning. And the Lord God shall blow the trumpet and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue whistling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled like bowls and as the corners of the altars. And it says in verse 16, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day as a flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids. Oh, praise the Lord, that new wine. Oh, yes, that has not been fermented. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the blessings of the Lord. But, oh, yes, the promise here of the Lord going before us and defending us. And, yes, you know, as we read the scripture, it often goes from one point to the next. You know, the Lord lives in eternity. Time is just a little sliver of eternity in reality. And, you know, as we're told in 2 Peter, that third chapter, that need to not be ignorant of that one thing. Peter wrote that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, to God, it's all, he sees the whole frame, the whole timeline. And yes, you know, we go from one thing, his deliverance on the cross, and I believe this chapter continues to talk about his return, that final deliverance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, what all comes as, oh, yes, the devil going about to work his plan. And oh, yes, he's got those that have followed him. But oh, our God is going to come with vengeance. Our God is going to come as judge. He is going to come to deliver his people. Praise the Lord. As all of this begins to come forth, oh, yes, there's going to be the sound of the trumpet. Oh, yes, as our God returns to this earth, the Lord Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, it talks about, yes, how he is going to defend his people. And oh, yes, there's going to be a devouring and subduing, or in other words, conquering. And all of this as the Lord God Almighty, our Savior, comes to save his people. As it says in verse 16, and the Lord, their God, shall save them in that day as a flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Oh, praise the Lord. What is that telling us? Oh, it's telling us how God looks at his people, that very glorious church that we've been speaking of tonight. Oh, he's talking about how he's going to save them in that day. And oh, he's going to see them as the stones of a crown. Oh, lifted up as an ensign or as a banner or a flag upon his land, his people, his bride, his church that he has redeemed, that he brings forth, praise the Lord. Oh, it describes this a little bit more. If we look at Malachi, the third chapter, verse 16 here says in Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And this is how God regards his people, his children, his church. Look at verse 17. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, look at this. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh, how the Lord looks at his people. They are his jewels. Oh, yes, those which he died for. Oh, yes, all of the stones in the crown. Praise the Lord, his people, his chosen. Oh, his glorious people. Oh, what a prize the body of Christ is to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. And you know, as it describes it in 1 Peter, oh, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2. How Peter described the people of God. Oh, yes, the Gentile people even. Yes, verse 9, 1 Peter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how God regards his glorious church. Oh, the church that, oh, yes, will be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, yes, made pure, made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, that which he did for us at Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing what he has done. Oh, yes, and so many more places I could go, but thank the Lord for his mercy. How I love that description, oh, of the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, how God sees us. Oh, yes, those that are his. Oh, yes, as he said in Malachi 3, verse 17 again, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Oh, it will all be disclosed at that moment when we stand before him, those that are God's and those that are not. But how we want to be, oh, part of his people, part of that glorious church. Oh, praise the Lord, that's going to be able to stand before him. Oh, yes, and hearing him say, well done, enter into the joys of my Lord. And oh, yes, this declaration, oh, they shall be mine. Oh, his sons, his daughters, his family, oh, the ones that he bought with his blood. Praise the Lord, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you glad that you're in the body of Christ? Oh, that you've been redeemed. Oh, we could never thank him enough. We could never praise him enough. We could never appreciate it enough. Oh, that song of praise that he puts within our hearts, that song, the redeemed. Only the redeemed can sing. Oh, praise the Lord. But if you're redeemed, oh, you've got a song of praise. Oh, yes, and it's not just for these moments, but it's for all eternity. Oh, yes, that glorious kingdom of heaven. Oh, yes, that shall stand forever, that shall never be diminished, that shall endure forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank God that we can be part of that glorious church that the Lord Jesus is going to present to himself. Amen, that glorious church. not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 340 and sing Jewels, number 340. When he cometh to make up his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, his loved and his own. He will gather the gems for his kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, his love and his own. Little children who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, his loved and his own. Praise the Lord.
Glory to Jesus.
Thank you all. Thank you, God. Thank you all for being here. God bless you. Have a wonderful night and be safe.